Is it? All right. Let's use the pulpit, Mike. Okay, good. It's off. That just means I won't be wandering around much this morning. But we are looking at, again, 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6. And it says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, that means that we are to do this quickly. We are to do this with some energy. All diligence, add to your faith virtue. And that's what we started out on June 10th talking about, was adding virtue to the fact that we are saved. That we are born again by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says to virtue knowledge. And that knowledge we determined had to do with God's word. Spending time in God's word. Spending time memorizing it, as we are doing with these verses. And to knowledge temperance. And that's where we are this morning, folks. That's what Tim was talking about. Tim was talking about temperance when it comes to our tongue. As we strive to be more like Jesus in heart and mind and action, we can look at some of the other list of things that are part of this makeup. And we've talked about faith and virtue, adding to them wisdom. And people, this process takes time. It just doesn't happen overnight. You didn't learn all you know the first day of school. Some of us didn't learn what we know now at all in school. But the process is one that continues. Every day that you live, God touches your life. God's power is available. Remember Jesus, as he got ready to leave this life, as he got ready to ascend up to heaven, where he is right now, making intercession for every one of you, including myself. As he got ready, he made this statement, and it's recorded in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So all of the power that you and I need, Jesus has. And is all we have to do is trust him to pour that into our lives. To give that power to us. So that we can add to our faith, virtue. That we can add to virtue, knowledge. And we talked about that knowledge. As we develop the knowledge, we're not to develop pride. That knowledge, as we develop knowledge about God and Jesus and who he is and God's Holy Spirit, we have to lay aside our pride. And that's a hard thing to do, people. We're going to look at that a little bit more this morning. Because there is no one seated in this auditorium without pride. And if you say you have no pride, you're lying to yourself, but you're also trying to lie to God. Because we all have. We were born with it. It has been a part of our life since the day we were born. It's called a sin nature. So Peter, here in this passage that we're working on memorization, that we're in right now, Peter is dealing with us as individuals. Paul tells us that, and Peter is doing this, he's saying this happens from the outside, God pours this into our life. But Paul, remember, we learned another couple of verses two or three years ago when we were learning about the Holy Spirit, and we were memorizing Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which you folks know by heart because you have heard it enough times. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And here we come to that word again, temperance. Paul puts it last, because it is probably the last thing that you and I will learn in this life or achieve in this life. Peter puts it a little higher in his priority list, because Paul's telling us that all these things are inside us because the Holy Spirit is here. He has indwelled us when we got saved. So the temperance is there. Peter, on the other hand, is saying that God can pour these things into our life from outside. Paul talking about it working from the inside. Peter's talking about it working from the outside. So folks, if we are willing to let God be God as he wants to be in each one of our lives, temperance is going to show up. And temperance has another name. The other name is self-control. Peter builds in a particular sequence. Paul tells us everything's already in place. Is this a contradiction in Scripture? No. No, not at all. We're looking at two different processes. And as Tim mentioned, we're doing this, folks, as a church, arm in arm. We don't want to leave anybody behind. Everybody who wants to go with us should be able to go. Because we're locked arm in arm. And we want to take you. And we want you to take me, us, together. Our Heavenly Father is working from the outside in. And the Holy Spirit is working from the inside out. And Jesus started the whole process when he died and rose from the dead. So the Trinity is working in every one of our lives. Now, we cannot comprehend the Trinity. Men have gone insane trying to. I have spent hours trying to rationalize this in my mind or comprehend it. It can't be done. All we know is what God's word tells us. It indicates very clearly that the Trinity is a fact. And so we are going to build upon that fact. So we start off with Jesus Christ, with the belief that he is the Messiah, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead, that he paid the penalty of our sin, so none of us have to go to hell. If anybody goes to hell, they choose to go, because it is not God's wish that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we begin this process, according to Peter. And we add to our lives virtue, which is excellency. Because we're proud people, We have to deal with our pride if we're going to have excellence. None of us has ever accomplished anything in our life without the help of God. If you have a job that you're successful at right now, God gave you that ability. He did. And if you say, I'm failing miserably at what I'm trying to do, okay, that's not God's fault. That's our fault for not doing what the Bible tells us to do. We have to take the credit, people. God doesn't fail. We do. And so we add virtue. And in order to get rid of the pride, we add knowledge. Knowledge that God is doing all of these things for us. You might not like something in your life, but God figures that it belongs there. And he put it there. And we know he put it there because the word tells us. Now, here comes the hard part, the part that we're going to have to really work on. To knowledge, we are supposed to add temperance or self-control. I can control a child because I'm bigger than he is or she is. You can too. I can even control an animal because I'm supposed to be smarter than an animal. But I have difficulty controlling myself because of my pride. I'm a sinner. So are you. I have a sin nature. You were born with one too. And that sin nature is going to cause me all kinds of trouble. And your sin nature is going to do the same thing for you. If you place a medium cooked ribeye in front of me, and I'm hungry, I'm going to try and eat it, even if I've just eaten. You know why? Because I lack temperance. And maybe some of you do too. I don't know. It's your call. Self-control is very hard to achieve for all of us because we have appetites, we have desires, and that's normal. But we are being told by the Word of God to the virtue and wisdom we are to add temperance. I just misquoted that. It wasn't virtue and wisdom, it was virtue and knowledge. Temperance, self-control. Most of us have areas in our life where we really don't want to exercise self-control for one reason or another. We like us the way we are. We do. And we don't want to be temperate. When Paul tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, the last thing that the fruit of the Spirit is able to bring into our life is temperance. It's the last thing in Galatians 5:23. We want to be in control of our own lives. From the time we're born, we want to be in control. We want to make the decisions. We want to choose what we're going to be, what we're going to do, where we're going to be. We want to control our own life, and we have things, now people, this is hard for us to, we're looking inward right now, sort of introspection. We have things that we want to do, even if this book says we shouldn't. Even if this book says, thou shalt not. Oh, we want to. And the worst part of it is that usually we do it. And you know, there's another name for that kind of self-will. Quiet, Janice. I don't like that word, sin. Not when it pertains to me. Yep, self-will is called sin. For most of us, temperance is probably one of the most difficult things to achieve. We have to submit our will totally to God. Because if we do not, we will never see temperance in our life. And sometimes, Tim was talking this morning about parts of our life that we might reserve even when we get saved. And we say, okay, well, God can save me from everything but this. This is mine. That's called sin, people. It's called sin. And if we have temperance, self-control, we don't have to sin. And that's why God says that that's what we are supposed to add to our lives. That's why Peter says that's what we're supposed to add to our lives. Now, one of the areas, I do want to walk around, but I won't. Okay. One of the areas of my life, I can't talk for any of you, you all have areas in your life, just like I have areas in my life, where I am not temperate. And one of the areas, I kid about it, but I'm very serious about it too. One of the areas of my life is food. It's an area where I am not as temperate as I ought to be. I am not as self-controlled as I ought to be. Now, admitting that, does that fix it? No. I have tried in my own strength to fix it. Lately I've been eating a lot of salad. Okay, and nothing but salad. I'll sit down for a meal and it's salad. I kept wondering if my nose is going to start twitching. You got it. But you know what? Even though I do that in an effort to show temperance, I'm still hungry. And if there's a steak printed on the tablecloth, I'll probably eat it. Anything that I can chew and swallow, you know, that's what I like. So, would you call it temperance? Neither would I. None of you have probably ever had that kind of a problem. And this is something, people, this is part of life. And that's what the church is all about. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. That's what God's Holy Spirit is all about. That's what God is all about. He's about life. He is life. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the light? So folks, if we want to be like Jesus, we are going to have to introduce temperance. And that's what Tim was teaching about this morning. I had to really bite my tongue to keep from saying anything. And he just told me this morning when we got up here on the platform, boy, isn't it a coincidence? And it is no coincidence. The Holy Spirit is working among us right now. He is here. He's in every one of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior. He's not making any mistakes. He's wanting to perfect you and me, that we might have virtue, the virtue that Christ had, that we might be Christ-like. None of us have made it yet. You know that. I know that. I'm not even close. And yet, this is what we're trying to do together, arm in arm. I want to help you. I want you to help me. That we can achieve these things, that we can take virtue. And as we try and build that into our life, that we do it by adding knowledge. And as we add that knowledge, we realize we have no reason to be proud. And that pride in our life is one of the things that mars virtue. It does. Every time I react in anger because somebody says something critical to me, I'm destroying my testimony before them. I've been trying to build a testimony for 57 years. How long have you been building your testimony? And do you know in 30 seconds you can throw it all away? And the problem is we do that because we're not relying on Him, our Heavenly Father. We are relying on me. And I'm not worth relying on. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power that He has. Why would I? I know better than to go out and try and pick up my car. And yet I saw a 100-pound woman when I was a child pick up the front end of a car because her son was under it. And she literally picked it up. And other people have done amazing things under the rush of adrenaline and the power of God working in their lives. We can have that power if we're willing to get out of the way. If we're willing. Paul said it because Paul understood it. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. Christ liveth in me. And that's what we're working for, people. We're working to have Christ living within us. So we can have virtue. So that we can have knowledge to share with other people. Not knowledge for ourselves that we can go around and be proud. Oh, I know this, I know that. No, So we can go around and tell somebody, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. And we can be helpful to them. We can give them something that they have no knowledge of. They don't understand, but they need it. One of the areas that we probably fail most in is speech. Now, I'm not singling out anybody. There was a name that Tim mentioned. He didn't mention a name. I was going to mention a name, but I won't do that. I'm not singling out anybody, because many of us need to exercise more self-control in our speech. We need to exercise temperance. That's what Tim was talking about this morning. Temperance. Temperance is also about speech. And most of us, no exceptions, most of us need to exercise more self-control in our speech. I'm included. Many times, you've heard the expression as a cliche, but yet it is true. Many times we put our mouth in gear before we engage our brain. And in a fraction of a second, we can destroy our testimony or we can destroy an individual. And I wasn't just making up anything this morning when I said, about 3 years ago in this church, there was an individual talked about, and the person talking about that individual did not know that they were standing behind him. And they overheard what was said, and they left this church because they were so hurt. And none of you, I know none of you, want to hurt anybody. There might be a couple politicians that you'd like to kick, but not to hurt them, just to put their thinking back in order. Because that's where if you kick them in the right place, that's where their mind is right now. Anything that does not build a person up is gossip. Anything that you and I say that does not build a person up is gossip, particularly if that person is not there. That's behind their back. The Bible has a name for that. Backbiting. Ever heard of it? Do we want to be guilty? No. We don't want to, but this little thing that Tim was talking about in our mouth, and it's not a denture, it's a tongue. And you know what? What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Eventually. We can hide it, but eventually it's going to come out. And you know what the Bible says about the heart? Oh, how deceitful it is. And it's deceitful when we turn that old nature or the flesh loose, as we all want to. Now, we're looking at this word temperance. And the word temperance appears only 4 times in the entire Bible. Twice in Peter here. Once in Paul's writing to the Galatians in verse 23 of chapter 5. And the other time, the word was used by Christ Now, where it appears, it is in the imperative. That means that it is a command. We are commanded by God through his word, through Paul, through Peter, through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded to have temperance. I don't know if any of you happen to see just a little segment on the news about when some of the FBI people were being questioned. This guy wrote, fell in love with the attorney, and he was already married. And when the representative from Texas was questioning him, and the guy was lying, obviously, and lying and lying. And so he asked him, you know, did he ever look his wife in the eyes and lie to her about the relationship? And did you hear all the background objections coming from people who did not want the truth? Most of the world people do not want the truth. Because most of the world does not want to be temperate. They do not want to exercise self-control. So people, we need to show them. That's the reason that God has told us that we are to be temperate. We are to be self-controlled. As you can begin to see, temperance is really not easily achieved. But it's an important part of a Christian's life and testimony. As you will discover, there is another word that goes along with temperance. They're kin, cousins. Temperance, obedience. Temperance, obedience. In order to be obedient, we have to be temperate. And your amount of temperance will parallel or coincide with your obedience. If you're obedient to the word, then you have a measure of temperance in your life. If you have a measure of temperance in your life, you are going to show obedience. Self-control, which is temperance, keeps us from intentionally sinning. Self-control keeps us from intentionally sinning. Remember what God said. He said, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. How can plowing be sin? Yet it is. Anything that is not done in faith, the just shall live by faith. And people, that's part of what we're working to. It all goes together. And so as we read God's word, as we hide it in our hearts, why do we do that? That I might not sin against thee. And so if we're not spending time in this word every day, we are sinning against God that day. Every day. We need to remember that as we seek to gain virtue, We have to deal with our pride, because our pride is a sin in the sight of God. And you say, where does it say that? It says that in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I'll read that. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, very first thing, pride. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Becoming Christ-like seems to deal with who and what we are. With who and what we are. If my life is not Christ-like, it's because I am not Christ-like. And you know who has to take the credit or the responsibility for that? I'd like to blame it on my wife, but I can't. It's me. And it's the same thing with you. If you're not Christ-like, it's not your mate's fault. It's nobody's fault but yours. And so, people, this is what we are working towards. This is where we are going as a ministry, as a church family. And we want all of you to go with us. We want to help you where we can. We want to strengthen you. And if you say, pray for me, I'm having a problem, then we need to pray for each other. Every day. We just have to take that time, folks. We're making progress. I can see God working in my life, and I hope you see him working in yours, because he is. And I can sense that among some of you. And I'm excited about that God is working. He's always been there. Only we need to yield a little bit more of self and ask him to help us with this thing we call temperance. And that's what we are going to be adding. That is what the next step is. First step was faith. Second step was virtue. Third step was knowledge. And under the knowledge, we understood that pride was part of that. And we had to get rid of that. And then temperance. So this is actually step five at this point, if you're keeping track. And I trust you are. And I trust you're seeing this change your life for the benefit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I've still got two pages left, but we're not going to have time for that this morning. This is such a subject. This is so important. This is so much a part of our life. And our Sunday school seems to be paralleling it. And God is just, he's got our hand upon us. His hand upon us. And he's trying to get us to be Christ-like. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to go to this effort to help us to be like Jesus. Father, we're not there. Some of us are a long ways from there. But we would ask this morning that you would pour out your power into our lives to help us to be obedient to your word. Father, that we might be temperate, that we might show temperance by our obedience. Keep us, Father, from the world. Keep us from sin. And Father, keep us close to Thee in these days to come. And if one is struggling, Father, may we encourage them. May we minister to their needs. And Father, may You bless and may Your will be done in each life here this morning. And we will praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.